is a podcast from Patriots.com.
It's good to be out on the field and start training camp, going through drills, having contact work, and starting a long road of building the base towards getting ready for the opener against Kansas City and a 16-game regular season schedule.
Patriots podcast live from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
Two practices today, and we're just kind of keep rolling here for a while and try to concentrate on one day at a time, one meeting at a time, one practice at a time, put one foot in front of the other.
Now, with your Patriots 2008 training camp updates, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Monday, August 11th, the year 2008. A dreary Gillette Stadium, but the PFW boys are here once again.
Dreary Andy Hart.
Why? I'm just building steam. You're a long weekend off. Sometimes you're a little tired. Like the players, we had a chance to regroup this weekend, and we can just plow through the rest of training camp now. But now we're going to turn back the clock to last Thursday night. A very special event here at Gillette Stadium.
What was the first game of Blossom?
Of the preseason schedule. Whoa. Paul Perillo, give me your immediate four-word reaction to that game.
Mayo!
Oh,
that's
that
one.
Wasn't the word I was thinking of.
But seriously,
he asked for a four-word reaction. He's the one that stood out to me, my friend.
And you gave me one word. You failed in kindergarten.
Oh, I was going four letters.
Four letters.
This one's a keeper, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not a smart
Save
man.
Save this to your computer. This one's
such
a classic.
An idiot.
You're right.
Well, I was very impressed with the defense. I don't know how many words that is, but the linebackers in particular. Linebackers in particular, which I know we're going to talk about Jerod Mayo. I was very impressed with him. Pierre Woods, all the young guys.
Sean Crable.
Sean Crable, we were all wondering during training camp practices where he was, but we found out he was waiting
apparently
for game
learning,
day.
Learning the defense and getting ready to explode.
And I also want to throw Gary Guyton in there, Andy.
Yes.
Getting some second team reps and making some plays and a really, really standout play on special teams to prevent a touchdown. Which, and Bill talked about that during his conference call on Friday. It was a big heart play. I like that. Not an Andy Hart play.
No. Oh, that was an Andy
an
Hart
H-E-A-R-T
play.
H-E-A-R-T.
That was a heart play. H-A-R-T as well.
Okay.
Eric,
oh,
give me your four words.
Christmas.
I'm going to say sluggish as far as the backup quarterbacks go. Frightening as far as the offensive line goes.
How long are we going here?
I'm giving you four
words. He's going four words. Sluggish and frightening. So far, he's halfway home.
Encouraging. Mayo and the rookies. And I'm gonna reserve judgment on that fourth one, if that's okay.
You're holding back a word? You already used 27.
Well, because it was only the first game.
I didn't say every word gets a line to go with it. Jesus.
Paul,
you focused on the positive, which was clearly the defense. And
that's clearly what you don't like to do, I left the negative to you.
I like for us to cover everything here on the podcast.
I have a major negative.
Eric touched on it.
I'll let you say it first.
Oh, your major negative is the offensive line.
No,
you're
it's
worried
not.
That the season
My
ended.
My major negative is not the offensive line, but I'll let you do it first.
Backup quarterbacks, and Eric, you touched on it.
Mm-hmm. Mine's
Very
Chad
disappointing.
Jackson.
I cut ties with him 2 weeks ago. You were still on his bandwagon back then.
That's true.
Welcome aboard the Chad Jackson Express to
Well, just, unlike team. You, it doesn't mean I necessarily want to see the guy cut.
I don't
want to
see him
by
cut,
dawn.
But this is a performance-based business, and he hasn't performed in camp, on the field. The only guy that had a worse game than him at wide receiver was C.J. Jones, and you're not talking about guys that necessarily have the same resume,
same
cachet. I'm
not so sure that one was any
Chad
worse
Jackson
than the other,
was on the field with, to be frank here, guys who are not going to be in football in a couple weeks, and could not stand out, could not even make plays.
Didn't look like he was running the right routes sometimes.
Right. There was an interception early on for Matt Castle where he's yelling at Chad Jackson. They clearly weren't on the same page. And I'm going to give Castle the benefit of the doubt there that Jackson, sort of a back shoulder throw, was supposed to come back and get the ball. The only guy who came back and got the ball was the corner. But in general, and we've talked about this, when he's out there, he just looks like he's playing backyard football, just sort of running around looking to get his hand up and get open rather than precision football where I'm running a 7-yard in cut, and I'm going to be there. It never just fluidly works out for him. And I got to think he's in a real, real danger now of not making this football team.
And the other thing that troubles me about it is you would think a guy at this point would be upset with himself, or at least visibly upset with himself when those kind of things go wrong. And you kind of get the idea from him that it's just sort of like a big joke almost. Like, I didn't get it.
That's
or I didn't
why
catch it.
I actually hope for him because I kind of like him. I think he has physical talent. Maybe he's one of those guys that needs to get cut and go
Wake
somewhere else, and that's all of a sudden, I really wasn't getting it. And, they were preaching it to me, but you're right. He smiles, and he still has that. Maybe he needs to be chopped down a notch or two in order to realize what, maybe he's letting pass him by, go somewhere else. Because he's going to get more chances. Guys that are second-round picks that have that much physical ability don't just disappear. You get chances. He'll probably get two more chances. He'll go somewhere, and there's probably another one after that. I'm going to be rooting for him because I kind of like him, and as I said, I think he has the physical tools, but he just hasn't put it together here at all.
I thought that was disappointing, though, to see him not be able to – first of all, the fact that he doesn't appear to know his assignments yet is very troubling. But not being able to create separation, even as he played later on in that game against second and third string guys. You know, we saw some other players go out there and flash. You know, Lamont Jordan didn't have the greatest game, but he was clearly the NFL player on the field in the second half among a bunch of guys who, quite frankly, probably won't be. Chad Jackson was just another guy out there with a bunch of other guys who were just other guys, and that's not supposed to be what the case was. That's why I was terribly disappointed in his performance. You know, I think Andy's right. I think he's got a battle on his hands just to make the team right now, and I think I'll speak for myself. I thought he was a lock to be a starter on the other side of Randy Moss with Wes Welker in the slot. Now I don't think that's got a prayer of happening.
Yeah, he might make the roster. He's got no chance of starting right now.
No, I mean, we expected him to do a lot better. This being his third year, he was coming in healthy.
So did Bill, I bet.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean.
And Bill O'Brien and Josh McDaniels and the entire – every person on that offense, probably Brady.
Well, let's stick with the positives.
And it's not like he didn't have his opportunities in this camp. They were, you know
– even still even getting
game,
tons of
even
opportunities.
Even in this game, they were forcing passes to – not maybe forcing, but they were getting him the ball.
Well, they were trying to get
him the ball.
Unofficially, he had six balls thrown in his direction, and he caught one for no yards.
Not what we're looking for.
Certainly not. Paul, before you jump back into the positive, this is sort of a negative I think we should get through.
Yeah.
Tank Williams was injured, placed on IR over the weekend. They signed Jeff Schoate, cornerback, formerly of the Denver Broncos, like a fourth-year veteran. Was actually on the practice squad of the New York Giants in the postseason in the Super Bowl. So he earned a Super Bowl ring with the Giants. Now he's here in camp with the Patriots. Said he was staying in shape and is ready to go. So they're adding him to the defensive backfield mix. Jonathan Wilhite, Jason Webster, Mike Richardson all did not play last week, so that opened up the opportunity for Terrence Wheatley and Fernando Bryant to go the distance almost at cornerback. So right now there's a little bit of a change there in the defensive backfield with all those injuries and guys who are getting the reps and guys who are going to get a chance maybe to win some jobs that even a week and a half ago might not have thought they had a chance to win a job.
Liked what I saw out of Wheatley in that game.
Yes. Didn't like what I saw about Fernando Bryant.
No.
The Tank Williams injury, I think, is significant. I don't think it's the end of the world significant, but I do think that Bill had some designs on using him in some different ways and sub-packages and whatnot, things that we talked about all during training camp, both on these podcasts and on our PFW in Progress podcast. But, you know, you move on. You know, we talk a lot about Junior Seau being a possibility down the road. And, you know, I guess he was quoted over the weekend on a San Diego radio station saying that this is the only team he would come back for. He has had contact with Belichick and whatnot. So people are kind of expecting that at some point he's going to enter the picture. But maybe, you know, Ty Law still available. You know, with all of these injuries that Andy just chronicled in the defensive backfield, I wonder if maybe he's on a short list of potential guys to come in. Obviously wouldn't need to learn a system. He knows the system. Depending on what kind of condition he's in, might be a guy that you could bring in very late in the preseason process.
And depending on his price tag.
Well, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things that would depend on, but I'm wondering if he's even in consideration at this point. We know that they had interest in him, say, back in May and June. I wonder if they would have closed that door completely or if they're thinking about
it. Would they consider him at safety, do you think?
I don't know if he has the skills to be a safety, to be honest with you. I've seen Ty Law play at a fraction of the speed that he once had, and he still finds a way to be pretty competitive, I think, based on his overall competitive nature and his experience and knowledge. Now, he's not going to be a guy that you want to lock up on the other team's number one receiver and just say, Deion Sanders, go ahead and cover him. He's not that guy anymore. But I think he can certainly get by with Ty Law as one of your cornerbacks. I don't know how you feel, Andy.
I think you could definitely get by, and you could do a lot worse than having Ty Law in your defensive backfield. I do think he's versatile enough that he could play some safety, some
I just think he's
hybrid
small
free
for that.
Safety stuff. I think the size gets overrated at safety at times. You're not in this day and age in the NFL with all the spread offenses, you're not a guy that has to be in the box all the time, you know, playing these running games. I think you can be a fourth safety, fifth defensive back, hybrid position, and make a lot of plays back there. And I certainly think his knowledge for the game and his knack for being in the right place, you just open him up even more to those situations at safety.
Because
you have more of the field where he can roam.
And to back up Eric and Andy's point, we did see him, you know, flip-flopping a little bit in the past, you know, with those gimmicky defenses they used against Indy in the playoffs back in 03 here at Gillette Stadium, where he was sort of playing back like a safety and Rodney Harrison was up pressing the line of scrimmage as a corner. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you guys are right.
A couple other just notes before we move on from the game, which was indeed a Patriots 16-15 defeat, although I like to refer to it as a 16-15 tie since they chose to go for two when they got the 15th
God
point.
God bless Bill Belichick.
Yes,
like
thank
say.
You.
Got
and very easily could have kicked the tying PAT. Instead, went for two. Ray Ventrone was wide open on a nice little pick play in the left side of the end zone.
That would have
been
nice.
The ball was batted at the line of scrimmage by Aya Bandaja for the Baltimore Ravens, young, fast linebacker. Anyway, all the positives, couple negatives, couple injuries. Sam Aiken, we should also talk about, limped off the field. Russ Hochstein limped off the field. So we'll have to keep an eye on those moving forward. But Tank Williams is the only season-ending injury to come out of the preseason opener. Now we'll turn the page to Monday. Gillette Stadium, the Patriots had a walkthrough this morning inside the beautiful Dana-Farber Fieldhouse out there where they were in grays and just kind of roaming around. I would call it a less than three-quarter speed walkthrough, just running plays against scout plays, lining up, doing a variety of things. I think the biggest piece of news to come out of it in my mind is we saw Matt Light out on the field. Didn't really do anything, was kind of hanging out with the offensive line group. But it's the first I've seen of him in weeks.
Yeah. And there were other guys that weren't out there. That's why I think it's
right.
noteworthy.
Russ Hochstein
was
not out there. Ryan O'Callaghan was out there
late
to do stuff with the injured players. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I didn't see a lot of guys out there. And Matt Light was out there,
I didn't see Stephen Neal.
Stephen Neal was not out there. So maybe Matt Light is starting to at least, you know, somewhat minutely start the process of getting back towards the regular season because they certainly could use any help they can get on the offensive line, an area that struggled in the opener. You know, the injured guys, you just wonder at what point do they have to go on without them. But if Light can start to squeeze back, obviously he knows the system. And
that'll be a big help.
He's done it in the past where he's missed portions of training camp, gotten out there late, and then played in the regular season. So we'll keep an eye on that moving forward. Little bookkeeping note, the Patriots will be on the game day field inside Gillette Stadium tonight for a two-hour workout, or they projected to be at this point, weather permitting. Closed to the public, but the media will be there, so as always, we'll have updates on Patriots.com. Michael Parenti, our tremendous new writer, will bring you everything that happens on that field. But, Paul, at this point in camp, what are we looking for moving forward?
Well, that's a very good question. And, you know, I think that Bill talked a little bit today coming off the field about Tampa Bay specifically is a good opponent for them because they do things totally differently than what the Patriots do them. And by that, he was talking about Baltimore plays a 3-4, and even though it's not the same exact style, Tampa plays a traditional, you know, the Tampa too, you know, with the 4-3, and obviously they're going to see a lot of that in various spots. So that's one thing that you can look for this week is a little bit different preparation for an opponent that's a little bit different than what they do, and I think that's good. And he also talked about their physical nature, and, you know, it's a good football team on the road, so that's a good test for them going down there. But really, Andy, I mean, it's just staying healthy and continuing to fine-tune. Now, they have areas that we've already talked about that are starting to get a little bit thin. Defensive backs, you know, the cornerbacks, and, you know, some of these spots, you know, I think there is some concern there. I mean, we talked about the offensive line all summer, and now we're talking about cornerbacks too. You don't want to get that snowball rolling where, you know, all of a sudden you're thin at a lot of different spots.
I'm looking for somebody.
Who asked you?
I'm looking for somebody to step up and definitively claim that number two quarterback spot, which to this point I've not seen.
Will not happen. Somebody will be awarded that spot. No one's going to claim it.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't happen, I'm also looking for maybe somebody like a John Kitna to be brought in as a veteran who has
Is John Kitna going to get canned?
I was hearing that over the weekend.
Eric's got sources.
You get that? Are these sources or are these
aren't sources. These
those
are just
things. Shall not be named
no,
sources?
No. They're certainly not sources. They're just things I've been hearing or reading about.
I didn't know that.
Anyway, I'll tell you what I'm looking for. My new favorite player, Jerod Mayo, to continue his development. I thought his debut, even though it was in preseason, lived up to virtually all the hype in terms of being an inside linebacker and making an impact on the game.
Sure did.
And the way he has come on over the last 10 days, I'll say, ever since he jumped up from he was relegated to second-team duty, all of a sudden he's with the ones, picking fights in practice, sniffing out screens in the backfield.
Yeah.
I can only imagine when he gets, quote, comfortable out there and his instincts can take over, what he's going to be. He spoke a little bit to the media today about his debut and how he's feeling in his development.
I still have a lot of work to do. You know, my heart was pounding pretty hard the first couple plays, but, you know, after watching the film, I left a lot of plays out there that I'm trying to get better for this week.
Was the speed of the game the big thing for you, or reading everything, reading, reacting?
Yeah, pretty much that was it. You know, the speed of the game, the complexity of the game, things like that. So.
Were there certain elements of your play that you were encouraged by?
Not really. You know, there's a lot of things I had to work on. I made some good plays out there, but at the same time, it's things I had to work on, and that's what I'm focused on right now.
One of the big plays, obviously, everybody will remember is making the tackle, knocking the helmet off. Did that bring you any sense of pride that, you know, I've arrived in the NFL?
Not yet. You know, maybe during a regular season game, but right now I'm just trying to focus on the little things, the technique issues that I have, and try to get better each and every day.
As a group with you and the other rookie linebackers, Sean and Vince Red and Gary Guyton, over these last couple of days, have you guys as a group sort of discussed the good, the bad, the ugly from that game, and because you're all in this together?
Yeah, we definitely have. You know, we came in together, and we're trying to stay here together. So we definitely discussed all the bad, not the good, you know, because we're trying to get better each and every day.
I could not love him more. Saying all the right things, not happy, not satisfied, left a lot of plays on the field. This guy is everything that was sold to us and more.
And something he didn't talk about that has kind of gotten out, you know, he talked when he was drafted about being a film junkie, and now we're hearing stories. And you guys, Andy, you and Fred were on the pregame show on the Rock Radio Network, and Jonathan Kraft was on talking about him getting here a couple of days during the summer and, you know, being
Sundays.
You know, Sundays. And being early in the morning, he's pulling up and Gerard Mayo's here watching film.
Love it.
So there's guys that talk about being students of the game and being film junkies, and then there's guys that actually are doing those things. And it's nice to see a first-round pick. He knows he has a lot to learn, and he's learning it.
And to pull it full circle, we started talking about Chad Jackson as your biggest disappointment. When he was drafted, he was sold to us as a guy that they had given a page to the playbook and had done a tremendous job diagramming it, breaking the whole thing down, and, you know, this was a guy that was not going to have any problem making the transition to a pro offense. Well, 3 years later, we haven't really seen that. We've been sold the same type of thing on Gerard Mayo, and 2 weeks into essentially his pro career here in training camp, he's wowing us with his instincts, his ability to run around, his moving up the depth chart. So I tell you, I'm as excited about Gerard Mayo and watching him play as any young player that's played here since I've covered this team. Because he just seems to have the total package. And I don't want to overhype him and, you know, don't put his bust in Canton just yet. But the guy's, he's not let me down yet in anything he's shown.
No, you're absolutely right. I think fans agree with that sentiment, too. I mean, he gave us the kind of show that we were expecting. And let's just hope it continues the rest of the preseason.
Just avoid the plateaus. As long as he can avoid the plateaus in his development.
And he's keeping, like you guys said, he's keeping that even keel where he's saying, you know, I was nervous. I still have a lot to learn, but you're right. If he gets to that point where he's not thinking anymore and he's just reacting and he's
scary.
Yeah, it is going to be
scary for the opposition. That's why I'm advising fans right now, don't hesitate. Go real deal. Don't get the replica jersey. Order the authentic. Gerard Mayo, 51. It's a little pricier, but you're not going to regret it in the long run. When he's in the Pro Bowl in a couple of years, you can wear it loud and proud at Gillette Stadium and everywhere you go. Because I really think this guy is in line to be a superstar NFL linebacker.
He's got to keep that tradition up of middle linebackers.
That's right.
Getting the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year.
No question. Rookie of the Year, Pro Bowl, it's all coming in the next year or two. Gerard Mayo, Patriots Football Weekly's favorite player of the preseason. We've been raving about him for weeks, and we'll continue to rave through the rest of the week as he finishes up the public portions of training camp at Gillette Stadium. And Paul's pointing at a TV. I don't know why, but that's going
to
wrap up a podcast, and we'll talk
Matt
to you
Ryan's
later.
Touchdown.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com. My mind has been enabled. In the memory you overflow. Wanna be your superhero. Even if I tumble.